Welcome to the 146th edition of Make Pro Wrestling with Jessica again. I am Tiger Height.
And I am Peanut Gallery.
So we will be covering Dynasty next week since it's pretty much on right now and we do not do Sunday shows outside of WrestleMania. But before I get into my pictures, I didn't get a picture, but I should at least bring it up.
Okay.
Of the Cult of AEW regarding the releases, about all of them being people of color.
Yes.
And them basically saying that WWE is racist for doing that. It's 100% coincidence that all of them were people of color.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
Yes.
So bringing that up hurts more than it helps.
Yes.
So that's ridiculous, and you should stop with that narrative right now.
Yes.
Because if they were racist, then why do they have other races as champions? Why are they there at all? That wouldn't make any sense. The reason that they were released is because they weren't doing anything on television.
Right.
Could they have? Yes.
But they didn't have any direction for them, so why keep them around?
Yeah, might as well have them do what they want to do, and we'll talk about it more with the match, because
right.
This is an example of two guys who did that quite well. Now,
drama. What's going on?
There is a lot going on, and I think we should probably talk about the comments that a certain person has made regarding everything. Well, first, let's talk about Mercedes.
Okay.
Because we're just going to do this backwards, apparently. Mercedes Moné has been a colossal failure as of right now with AEW. All she has done is talk.
Which is her weakest attribute. Why? She's decent in the ring. Put her in a match with somebody. Don't let her talk.
And she's been on.
She's so bad at talking.
She has been on every single week.
Yeah.
She has not said anything new.
Yeah.
They're going to kill interest in Mercedes before Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, why? If you were going to have that, why not wait for Mercedes to debut at Double or Nothing?
Right.
It would have been a lot more impactful than having her do this.
Well, here's my theory. It's because she's getting paid so much and she's been on the books since January of this year. I think that they needed to do something.
But it's not working. The problem is that they brought her out and all she has done is talk. You're going to kill interest with her before she even steps into the ring to compete in a match.
Because again, you're highlighting the fact that she is, you're highlighting her weakest attribute as a wrestler, which is talking.
Exactly. A person who's, a company who has done this really well is with the personal concierge to Ash by Elegance.
Yes.
Ash has never been the strongest at cutting promo. She has the presence, but her promo skills have not been there.
She's never gotten a very prominent role in...
Because they didn't put somebody with her.
Right.
So there are people who need other people. Brock Lesnar needed Paul Heyman to be successful.
Right.
And up until he became the cowboy and started to do his own thing.
Right.
But with the concierge, he's great at promo. He is so good and dumb combined is awesome with Ash by Elegance. Mercedes needs a mouthpiece. She is not that person.
No.
She's terrible at commentary. That was abysmal. And the numbers are not supporting it. It continues to fall.
Right.
It's not working. What can you do? They're going to kill interest in me watching Mercedes Moné further.
Right.
Because guess what? If you have her do this thing in Double or Nothing, great. What then?
Right.
Is she only going to be special attraction like Saraya was supposed to be?
Right.
So it's stupid because they're just going to kill it and the numbers are not supporting we have to put her on TV because she is not the needle mover people want her to be.
Right.
Bloodline. People are like, oh, we got to end this bloodline. We got to end this bloodline. Please don't end the bloodline.
Well, it's because it's taken on a new dimension now.
Exactly. But that's exactly what it needed. It needed the facelift, and they did it at the perfect time.
Because they turned themselves essentially into a thug group.
So I compared how they're doing this to the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
So the sharper dressed bloodline, the more aggressive. And I'm aware that the Kevin Owens blood was fake. It was obviously fake, but it it's putting in that more brutal bloodline.
Right.
To where now Solo, who was the enforcer, is almost now acting like the tribal chief.
Right.
But I called him a mafia boss because he looks like a mafia boss. And right, it's awesome. This is the shit that the bloodline needed so
and
bad.
And what's going to happen is I think Roman Reigns will return and attack Solo and then become a mega babyface like Vince always wants it. Triple H is like, hold my beer.
Right.
This is how you turn Roman into a mega babyface.
Right, exactly. Because like Solo, who Roman said was going to be the heir to the throne of Tribal Chief.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Solo forced himself to be the tribal chief since now Roman is doing other things. Right. I think now he's filming a movie, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he'll be gone for a little while.
So that will give WWE plenty of time to build Solo to being the main eventer that he should be.
And they took the title off of him because, well, they took the title off the bloodline because he does, A, title's not needed, B, Solo wouldn't. It's not world champion material.
They pressed and hold the 3 second button to bump up the bloodline again in a different dimension. You're right. It's a different dimension of the bloodline. Yep. And we've only seen it for 2 weeks. We don't even have the full bloodline there yet.
Right.
We're still waiting for Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
I thought there was somebody else that they wanted to bring in too. I think Umaga's kid is kind of slated to be there too, but I'm not sure.
I'm not 100% yet.
I think he's in reality right now. He already has the in because he's at Reality of Wrestling,
right,
which is Booker T's promotion.
Yeah.
So this is just, I wanted to highlight it because everything about this is awesome. Paul Heyman almost being forced into this bloodline where when he was doing the finger point, he was shaking. It's like that kind of attention to detail is making this different.
Right.
The clothes make it different. The brutality makes it different. Where they literally had a car accident to start that Kevin Owens attack. It's like, okay, Tamatanga is literally trying to run down Kevin Owens in a vehicle.
Right.
This is not the same bloodline anymore. This is not. So it's great, and I just love highlighting stuff like that. All right.
So, oh, yes. I was going to talk a little bit about this as well, but we do got to talk about what Kenny Omega said on his
stream about Rossi. He implied that Rossi has interest in younger women. I want to give some clarification. The age of consent in Japan up until, I believe, 2016 was 13 years old.
Yes.
So, however they want to do that is their business.
Right.
Now, it's 16 now.
Right. But it was 13 for a long time.
Now, would it be weird for Rossi to fuck a 13-year-old? Yeah, that's kind of weird. But we need to put that into some sort of context that a pedophile in Japan is not going after 13-year-olds.
Right.
Because they have the legal right to fuck whoever they want at that age up until 2016.
But it could be seen as coercion. It could be, you know, because of course he was a boss. So
right. Now, you know, also he has a lot. Rossi still has a lot of influence in Japanese women's wrestling.
Yes.
He's been around it since, I believe, the 1980s.
Yes.
So
so it's kind of like a Vince McMahon situation where sure there's consent there, but is it really consent?
They didn't try to get into the industry. What's going on there? Now, he did not say that.
Right.
He implied it. Like, it's kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Apparently, Asuka doesn't refuse to work with Rossi. I don't know why.
And then Rossi essentially created what is Stardom as kind of a result of that.
Right. Stardom.
Just despite Asuka.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
But
now he's working with the WWE, which is...
And I think it's not a, like, direct working relationship. Mm-hmm. So, like, Asuka's with WWE, but WWE has a working relationship with Rossi and Mari Gold. I can't remember the full name of the promotion.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that was the thing. But and here's the other thing that I thought about. All of this stuff and what Kenny Omega said very conveniently came out after the glaring working relationship with WWE.
Well,
is it just a little too coincidental for me? I believe so.
I actually don't think it's coincidental that this came out now because the wrestling world, I think at large, especially the American wrestling world, did not know about Rossi until very recently. You know, like WrestleMania season, I think for a lot of people was probably the first time they've ever heard of Rossi.
Right.
So no, it's not a coincidence, but you know, Kenny Omega did have something to say about him. And I think that now that more fans are more knowledgeable to his existence, I think it just happens.
And here's the thing. If these claims, quote unquote, are going to be substantiated as it relates to any sort of proof, the implication is out there. People are going to go digging. It's the age of the internet.
Right. Because WWE already has this problem with another one of their now former executives. So,
well, I mean,
it's very much in the lexicon of professional wrestling
but
allegations are coming out.
Now, it's not allegations. He implied. These are implications of being weird around certain working girls. That was the implication that Omega did. But he also said that, implied that Rossi possibly essentially had them sleep with him to get ahead within Stardom.
Right.
Within not as much of a word. He was very careful about how he worded.
Because he probably doesn't know everything that's going on.
But also, if he outright said Rossi fucked girls for them to get ahead, that could be slander.
Right.
So he could take him to court for that. And you know that Rossi has the money to do so if he can start up a whole other ass wrestling promotion.
Right. But anyways, that's kind of what
I mean, those are like the big things that I saw as it relates to the drama this time around.
Mm-hmm.
We will be talking about another thing of drama, but it relates to our match.
Yes.
It's not necessarily drama, but it's more so of a good thing.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that when we do that. Peanut Gallery, we're going to talk about the news.
Yes.
All right, we are back. Peanut Gallery, let's get into some news.
Yes. Matt Hardy. Now, Matt Hardy's whole thing. Now, a couple of things going on with Matt Hardy. Obviously, he made his debut at TNA.
His return.
Yeah, his return to TNA. Sorry. It's implied that maybe he signed with the company, but it has not yet been confirmed. He did actually state after the show that he was still a free agent. So either this is a one-off thing or maybe he's on a temporary contract with them while the storyline plays out. But yeah, he let his contract expire with AEW earlier this month, as we have speculated.
Yep.
That's kind of what's going on with Matt Hardy there. So a couple of New Japan stars, especially with the Super Juniors happening right now, have actually been injured. So we have Yo, who had to pull out
because he dislocated his shoulder.
Yep, and now Ryusuke Taguchi is also out for a couple of weeks for an unspecified reason.
Huh.
And so a lot of high-profile injuries are going on.
I didn't hear about that. Now, Ryusuke Taguchi's been around forever, and he was not going to win it. Now, Yo probably would have had a contention, but his match with Sho had to end early because literally his shoulder was dislocated.
But a couple of stars who weren't the best of the Super Juniors are just getting injured, which is interesting because, you know, considering the fact that the roster is already as limited as it is, it doesn't bode well
It's just one bad thing after another.
It is.
It sucks, man.
Yeah, it does.
We talked about Rossi already.
We did.
Let's talk about the injury update.
Yeah, so he might have to go in for some surgery.
I thought he did have surgery.
I don't think he had surgery with the intestines.
Okay.
Yes.
But if I'm not mistaken, he does have diverticulitis.
Yes.
And it's a good possibility that he's going to go in for surgery for
it. But he's also not the only star. Now, the first picture had Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona also went in for surgery.
Right.
And
that was his pec.
Yes, that was on his pec, so he's going to be out for a while.
He's going to be out for a while.
Which is unfortunate, but hey, it is what it is. And then, good news, Ruby Soho's pregnant.
I don't know why, but I thought that whole thing with Angela Parker was 100% kayfabe.
No, it wasn't. She's actually pregnant.
Yeah, but I didn't know that they were actually in a relationship.
Oh, you didn't know
that? No, I had no clue.
Ah.
I have no idea.
Well, a lot of wrestlers are in relationships with other wrestlers, but hey, that's the industry, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Carlos Cabrera is now part of AEW. I Don't know how much they're paying him, but he's probably getting paid some good money.
So Carlos Cabrera is a Hugo, whatever his name is. Is he also?
You know what? I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I know that this was a pretty good get for AEW, especially with their Spanish listeners, because
they need
Carlos Cabrera is pretty much the Jim Ross of the Spanish commentary team.
He really is. Yeah. He's been around forever. He was in WWE for a very long time.
Yes, very long tenure WWE guy.
But also, he's very well known in Mexico, yes. And especially with everything as relates to CMLL.
Yep.
This is one of the more positive gets for them. Even though he's at commentary, if you are Spanish-speaking or you like to listen to Spanish commentary, it's going to be a voice that you know.
Yes.
And especially because Jim Ross is pretty much out the door at this point.
Yeah. He's going to be a pretty good voice and I guess commentary leader going forward.
Yep.
if you want to call it that.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So Morrison Machine Guns, if you didn't know, are out of TNA.
They're
They
have not confirmed AEW, but
it looks like they are going to AEW. I know that they were offered a contract to go to AEW, and that's very likely where they're going to end up. Now, there was a tease within WWE for that, that announcement that Nick Aldis made last week on social media, where he teased the Motor City Machine Guns. So I think that they were in talks as well, and it looked like maybe they were pretty close on signing them, but you got to keep that strategic ambiguity. I guess.
You never know.
Right.
I would say that WWE would be the better choice for them because AEW has a tendency of being horrible, but and WWE is so white hot right now.
Right.
It would be such a big boost to their credibility if they went to WWE right now, because I mean, a freaking house show sold 16,000 tickets.
Yeah. That's an interesting update. Nikki Bella has expressed interest in getting back into the ring.
And Tony Khan wants at least Nikki. I'm not sure about, Brie pretty much has the in if she ever wants to get back in.
Well, yeah. And I think Brie also said that she is not as interested in getting back to the ring. But it was, I guess, a very interesting conversation that was had because obviously the Bellas have had a very long tenure with the WWE and have had a lot of success with the WWE.
And a lot of success outside of the WWE.
Right.
So with Tony Khan, it's like, I mean, Nikki Bella, I would probably say, would bring more eyes to the product than Mercedes
did. Yeah, because Mercedes... So Nikki cited Mercedes as an inspiration to getting back into the ring. On her little quest to, on her final decision. I guess we'll see.
Well, Nikki has to be careful because she does have the neck stuff.
Yeah.
She had really bad neck injuries.
Yes.
So really, you have to be careful with her because we don't want another Saraya.
Right.
But, I don't know. I will say that Nikki did improve.
Yeah,
did. As she went. So it's like there was dedication to the craft, but it's like how much more can you get out of her as it relates in ring work? But that's kind of where I am sitting on that.
And I think she brought more eyes to the product because of the stuff that wasn't necessarily ring related.
Yeah. With the stuff with E.
Yeah.
Total Bellas was one of the highest rating shows
since
Keeping Up with the Fucking Kardashians.
Yeah. And so was,
Total Divas.
I mean, she and her twin sister were mainstays on those shows.
Yeah. They made Total Bellas. Like, come on.
Right. Eric Rowan canceled a couple of his indie dates.
I did see that due to
contractual obligations. So
yes.
I'm hoping and hinting that he is going to make a return to the WWE. It would be a great get, especially if they're going to bring back the likes of Bo Dallas and stuff. I mean, I think that a case could be made to create a tag team or a stable based around that.
Their only connection is Bray, and I said, and I'm going to say until I'm blue in the face, that it would be such a bad idea to continue the Bray Wyatt Cinematic Universe in any capacity, because without Bray, you don't have the Cinematic Universe.
Well, I again, I think that it's kind of like the Bloodline. I think they're going to put a new twist on it.
Now, if they put a new twist on it without bringing up Bray Wyatt ad nauseum, then fine.
They're not. Okay, you think Triple H is stupid? You don't think that he sees what AEW's done with Mark Briscoe?
And they made the mistakes in the past. With Eddie Guerrero all the frickin' time, and people hate it. I hated it.
Yeah, and so I think that they're going to do right with this. Yeah, new dimension.
I will say with Eric Rowan, they did pretty good with his alignment with Daniel Bryan back in the days. Like, he was part of that whole Bray Wyatt thing, and then he just kind of did his own thing, and he was totally separate where you didn't even think about it.
Right. You know, the other thing, too, is obviously Braun Strowman is injured, but he could also play a role in a potential group like that as mm-hmm. well. I mean, you got two big guys
right,
who would just dominate. All right, Vince McMahon. All right, so we got to talk about, because there were some updates to the lawsuits, and it did involve, and it did name, I guess, the lawyer named John Cena and The Rock.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. To what I heard is that McMahon is in contempt of not being within any sort of anything. He's like 87, so right. Let's calm down there. But also, the lawyer brought up the fact that Mr. McMahon is keeping contact with John Cena and The Rock, and she was disappointed that they would associate themselves with the guy.
I think most WWE wrestlers maintain at least a modicum of contact with them. With him.
Is Vince McMahon not allowed to have friends now?
Right. As he is retired, he does have friends in high places.
Yeah, he's having talks with some buddies. Let's fucking chill.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to drag John Cena and The Rock in the fucking mud for no reason. They didn't fuck any of these people, did they?
Who knows?
Was John Cena holding her down? Right. No. He's not going to do that.
Right. Good Lord. It's like, honestly, I mean, especially The Rock, like, he essentially became a board member. Of course they had recent communications.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure The Rock bought some of the guy's stock, for God's sake.
Yeah, seriously.
There's 8 million stocks still available, to my knowledge, now.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That was so ridiculous.
It was kind of ridiculous. And guess what? It did have to be brought up.
Nothing is going to come from it either. No. John Cena and The Rock are going to be totally fine. They were not implicated in the lawsuit, but the lawyer was like, I'm just so disappointed that Mr. Cena and Mr. Johnson would have communication with him. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, seriously. It's not like they've known Vince McMahon for, you know, decades of their lives.
Right. It's like, Jesus Christ, a fucking phone call now. You're going to fucking shoehorn them in.
Right.
This lawyer is really not helping the situation at all. She is getting on television way too much, and it's making me very more suspicious about, like, the validity of these claims. I'm sorry. Like, that's sort of where I'm coming in. It's like, every other week this lawyer is there. Why? Right. There's no reason for it.
And where are they on TV? Like, where are they speaking on
TV? I think the last interview was on CBS.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong on that, but she's been very active publicly.
Which is interesting for a lawyer, because lawyers normally don't want to be that public.
Hell, the Johnny Depp and Amanda Heard lawyers were barely on television during that. And it's like, okay, something else. This is weird. I don't like it.
Right. All right. And we got to address the releases. Now, not only were wrestlers released this time around, but we also had a couple of very notable corporate releases as well this past month.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
Sue Atchison, who won the Warrior Award.
Yeah, no, I do know about Sue Atchison.
One of the longest tenured employees at WWE.
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's been with the company for like 30 years. I wouldn't be surprised if it's possibly like a retirement or severance package.
Yeah, something like that. And then he also had the VP of Talent, who also stepped down.
Hmm. Well, that was a step down. That wasn't.
No, that wasn't a step down. That was, I think, a release too. But of course, that also affects a lot of these contracts that are coming up as well. But then we also do have to recognize that yes, 5 wrestlers were released. Yes, all of them were people of color. No, it's not a motivating factor.
Right. It's like, okay, Zion Quinn lost a Bron Breakker in 5 seconds. That was the last time I saw him. Zaya Lee was on Main Event pretty much primarily, and DeSher was barely on, and Jinder Mahal, same thing.
Right.
These people are going to be fine. They know how to market themselves.
They all have 90-day non-compete clauses, so they're still getting paid.
Right. So let's all calm down about the race shit. You're discrediting them in every capacity.
Right.
So whatever.
Anyways, that's pretty much all I had for the week. So anything you wanted to add?
No. So when we come back, we are going to be talking about the good and not so good stuff about TNA Rebellion.
All right, let's get her started.
So we are back and we're talking about Rebellion, and let's get into some positives. So a couple of high profile returns.
Yep. Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy, Sammy Callahan.
And Santana, Mike Santana.
Yep, Mike Santana. Now, high profile is a loose term for the most part, but I think in the scope of TNA.
Yeah, Matt Hardy, pretty big deal for a lot of, especially during the bad years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally financially supported the company in the bad years.
Exactly.
Obviously, Santana, part of the LAX.
During the bad years,
during
too.
The bad years.
And they were kind of a early bidding war with WWE and AEW to get them on their rosters.
And then obviously Sammy Callahan,
who was
very much of a mainstay within current TNA. So it's all good to see them all back.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously talked about the contract statuses. Matt Hardy still says he's a free agent. Mike Santana is still technically a free agent. Sammy Callahan is probably the most likely one to have the contract already.
Exactly. So with the system, what I'm liking their booking, and I'm going to tell you why. They are dominant, but they're not overbearing.
Right.
So obviously the three males in the group have titles.
Yes.
They defended them successfully at Rebellion, and they all had fairly good matches. I don't think I've seen Eddie Edwards wrestle better than him being in the system. It's been a very good team with Brian Myers.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, the elephant in the room is Alicia. But they teased that her and Masha Slamovic are eyeing the Knockouts Tag Team Champions.
Ooh, interesting.
Now, Masha is not an official member of the system. She's going to be an alliance with them.
Right. So, and the only reason for that is because
Killer Kelly
is injured at the moment.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that she was hurt.
Yeah. So obviously with her not having a tag team partner, Alicia would be a good addition to
that. But the system has been very good. I've been really liking their booking. Mm. They continue to have, like I said, the strong matches, decent promo, and they have the world champion right now.
Right.
So it's all well and good. Yep. And this is how this is done. Main Event Mafia, they had something similar, but they really dominated the show.
Right. These guys, they don't dominate the show. Exactly. There are other things going on that are
just as good. Right. Right. So this match was,
speaking of good things that have nothing to do with the system.
Right, exactly. Mustafa Ali and Jake Something had a really good match.
Yeah, they did.
Mustafa Ali has been a shining beacon since he left WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He has not lost a match in everywhere. He has not lost a single match since he's been released from WWE.
Well, then there we go. Because he knows how to market himself.
Right. But he hit the ground running with this weird political gimmick.
Yeah.
He is confident. The theme song is great. The security is just the icing on the cake. It's so great with the Secret Service. But Jake Something, ironically, is something. He is very good.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wish he had more than just something, you know?
Right.
I think he would be really good. To be honest with you, I think he and Mustafa would kind of be a very interesting tandem.
Yeah.
Where Jake Something maybe has to be part of the Secret Service for Mustafa for another X Division title match.
Right.
That'd be a really cool stipulation because there were shenanigans during the match. So
yeah,
that would be a really good follow-up.
As is always the case with Mustafa Ali.
Right, exactly.
Always little shenanigans going on.
But he's a heel.
Right.
That's part of his shtick.
Right.
And I love everything about it. This just blew me out of the water. It was better than I expected.
Yeah.
I am so happy. Okay, I have to address this because I died. The match itself, I'll talk about it later. But that deep fake video of AJ Francis and Rich Swann doing the dance and everything on the Titantron was the best thing ever. The technology, that they incorporated with that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could put anybody in there, and they did that. It wasn't seamless,
right?
But it was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
The reaction from the crowd was great. Not a huge crowd, no, but very passionate crowd. I think it was like 1,500 people with a couple of hundred tickets still available.
Yeah.
And this, oh my God, this match was great.
It was a banger, man. It was exactly what I expected it to be.
Yep, exactly. Josh Alexander, I think, is incapable of having a bad match. And Hammerstone, I think, really put his flag in the ground of TNA saying, this is my home. I'm going to put 110%. I want to go for the world title, and I would not be against it.
No.
Now, I kind of wish they maybe waited. Now, this was a rubber match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a rubber match. So that was really cool. And the symbolism of the headgear was really neat, too, for that. And that was great. So this was one of my favorites. Yeah. This was the best match on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Just absolutely. Now, with the positives, we have to have some negatives. This Knockouts world title match was a mess.
It was. It was kind of weird.
It was overbooked.
Yeah.
So many interferences from people who had no association with any of it. With the good hands with Steph DeLander, that was because Matt Cardona was supposed to be there.
Right.
Fine. Why PCO? Now, Khan, he's been having the rivalry with PCO. That's fine. And Sami Callihan had to return somewhere. But why here? What's going to be the follow-up?
Right. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot going on in this match.
And it totally took away from...
I don't know why they did it. I don't know a lot about Steph DeLander's wrestling ability, which could play a role in the reason why the match was booked the way it was.
Steph DeLander's pretty good, so I'm a little bit disappointed.
You know,
that
he's obviously not Jordan Grace.
No.
But I just don't know why this match had to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It was.
There could have been other ones. Oh, my phone went down. The one thing that I was not a huge fan of as it relates to this was the randomness of the match with Steve Maclin.
It was kind of random.
It was very strange. Yes. Now, if they said part of my contract negotiations that I have an open challenge and they promote an open challenge with Steve Maclin with like a graphic and everything, my perception would have been different.
Right.
Now, this is not necessarily a negative, but I didn't bring it up in the positive, but Mike Santana had to knock this out of the park for him to be successful.
And he did.
He did a great job.
He's establishing himself as a separate individual, not, oh, we only got one half of LAX.
He had presence, good moveset, a good match within of itself. Yeah. But just a little more promo of like, oh, we're having an open challenge with Steve Maclin. That would have been better. Let's talk about the crew of First Class.
Okay.
They did not look first class to me.
No.
They looked a little raunchy. They looked like if I touched them, I would be sticky. They are supposed to be this, we fly first class and we do all of this, but now they're going to go party in the Palms. In the Palms Casino. Might as well party at fucking Sam's Town. Good Lord. I don't want to say that this match was bad.
It wasn't bad.
It was
okay.
It was okay.
It was there.
And that's wrong.
Right.
These two are good wrestlers, but they just did not gel the way I thought they were going to. Now, maybe because we were blinded by these two having other really good matches, but this one just sort of felt like it stopped.
Right.
For some reason.
Right.
It was very weird.
It was.
And that was really it for the negative. So, I mean, overall, I did like the show.
Oh, yeah, I did too.
I mean, it gets a full thumbs up from me. I'm also glad that we didn't go to this one. I would have been like, oh, it's an enjoyable show, but sure.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah. Obviously, Slammiversary is going to be in Montreal.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that. But all in all, it was a pretty good setup for a pay-per-view.
Exactly. Well, it was a good pay-per-view setup for the big one.
Right.
So when we come back, we have a special kind of match.
Yes.
So we are back, and we're going to be covering this.
This is where Mason Mansoor go to Uganda.
Yes. So the promotion is called Soft Ground Wrestling. Mm-hmm. The match itself, they went over there voluntarily.
Yeah, and I think they did their appearance for a charity as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so what's happening here is that the shirts that they are wearing, they are selling online. And I will leave a link in the description if you want to support. But what it does is that it supports the families of the people who are actually wrestling.
Ah, okay.
So all the proceeds go to that. And they actually also, and we'll get into it, but there is another point that I do want to make. And I think it's really cool. And it shows a different side of Maximum Male Models, or MXM is what they're calling themselves here. So let's get the map. Come on. There we go. Also, by the way, the guy is named Lord White.
Yes.
Or as it has a total meltdown. Oh my, okay, there we go. That was really strange. I'm not sure if he's a full-time guy, though. Oh, this is really weird. Oh, so I try to find the full match, but I think they just kind of compiled it into highlights.
Oh, that's fine.
So the ground there, you see how it's broken up. That actually makes the ground softer.
Right.
And they make it into mud.
So that's why it's called soft ground wrestling.
Yes, and also MXM did the entire ring.
Ah.
It's almost like they cut their teeth. And I'll leave a link to their channel in the description as well if you want to check out their other stuff. I like their stuff.
I love this.
Right? It's cool. There's another one. I can't remember the name of it. It's that Bombay one that you showed me on Facebook.
Botswana.
Yeah. Botswana.
Yeah, professional wrestling in these parts of Africa are interesting because they just make use of what they got, you know? And that's always cool to see.
So I'm not sure if that's so you see in the lower right corner, I'm not sure if that's his nose, but it's so distracting.
Oh yeah, I see that.
These like the little camera guys that are on the bamboo.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to be there. I don't know why.
Right.
I think I see better selling here than in AEW.
Yep.
I just love the crowd.
And they're taking down the shackles of colonialism once and for all. Love it.
And it's in Uganda, too, so...
Right, because this guy actually... That's his gimmick. His gimmick is, like, he's a white guy.
Right. That probably did not feel good at all.
This is really cool. God, these guys would be great at Impact.
Oh, yeah. I can barely hear him. I heard him at first, but they turned it way down for some reason. I just like how they're just like in their regular street gear too. I think they go from if I'm not mistaken, they go from village to village and do this.
But they are definitely getting attention now.
Oh yeah, did you see like all the wrestlers responding to this too?
Yeah.
If you guys want us to watch more of these sort of third world country wrestling promotions, let us know. In London, in Chicago, in Tokyo, in Germany, in Berlin, and
single city in every country in the world, they are all chanting SGW!
It's kind of cool how just one, like, request, and so here they are.
They actually volunteered.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, no, they actually volunteered to do something like this. Hell, this promo is better than a lot of them in AEW.
I know, seriously.
We usually don't cover the promos, but this is an important part.
This is.
We love the sponge? It's sounding like he died. With my entire heart, I promise you, the
sport loves you. God. Better than anything you see in AEW these days.
Right? There's actually probably more people there.
I know.
Than in most AEW places.
Where's our hard camera angle? They are definitely going to be getting a lot more attention nowadays.
Oh, yeah. I think they have like 8,000 subscribers or something like that.
Well, this is not going to be 8,000 for long. I'm going to subscribe.
Right? So I think that's really it about that video. So if you guys want us to watch more of this, let us know.
Yes, next week we are going to be covering Dynasty.
Yes, we're covering Dynasty. And I think there's another show, is there?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Anyway, so if you like this, subscribe, share, follow, leave comments, become patrons. All the links will be in the description or right under me. And as always, be
majestic.